The Song of Victory.
The song of Makes Me Sick. No. Hello. Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play Podcast. This week, we're talking NRL. We'll cover, so we're still doing our 2020 season review of the NRL. We'll cover our teams from 5 to 8. And also, as you can probably heard from that Maroons victory song, we'll touch on the first game of the Origin. Actually, we'll start with that, which
won by
the Maroons, 18-14, in front of a decent sort of crowd at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah, they had 26,000. A sellout. So 26,000 socially distanced fans. So, not to say that you don't really mind. Sort of, it just looks funny being played on such an oval like that.
Yeah. It is different when they do
well.
The Adelaide
Oval, like even when you play cricket at the Adelaide Oval, it's renowned for having short square boundaries. So I guess it kind of makes it a good rugby league ground in that regard because it doesn't, you know, look like the MCG where the football field's like smack bang in the middle of the middle of the ground and there's so much extra space all around it. It didn't actually look too bad.
No, it wasn't. And I think the field kept pretty well, you know. Well, there's obviously no weather issues, but the field actually sort of kept pretty well during that whole game. Like, I think we talked about before we got on, like you said, you'd be curious to see how that middle of the pitch would have held up, but it didn't seem too bad, I guess, during the whole game.
Yeah, just where they have the cricket squares, you know, the cricket pitches throughout the middle. If they're going to be, I could only assume that they'll be playing. They'll be having at least one test, or you know, there'll be a test match against India there later on in the year. Just not sure how long they sort of need to, to sort of groom their pitches, or whether the Adelaide Oval is actually just like what they're doing nowadays and just a drop-in pitch.
It's possible. It just seems to be everybody's doing that lately, just doing these drop-in pitches.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty much. So I don't think there's a lot of cricket squares anymore. I think, you know, even the MCG and that are doing it now. They're just doing a drop-in pitch, which is, sort of makes for a docile game, I think.
Well, okay. So in saying that, this game, I don't know if I told you this, but I possibly told someone else this, and you'll love it because it plays into your whole having Origin in the middle of the year and having Australian games at the end of the year. I just felt that this entire game, to be completely honest, felt like an NRL game. It did not feel like an Origin game. The final series games were better than this. And I believe... So my theory is that the reason I think it felt like that is because half of these players, not a lot, but half of these players haven't played for over a month. That's my theory.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. A lot of guys haven't played for a little while. But the other thing is, too, is that the NRL games have been drastically sped up with the new six again rule. So you don't notice it that much when you come into Origin, and Origin's supposed to be a faster, harder game. That's what the NRL's been like this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. It just felt a bit lackluster. Like, you know, I was looking at sort of particular Manly players. I guess any player that sort of is in that bottom half, and just this is on New South Wales side because we played terribly. I mean, it just didn't seem fluid. Like the final series was so much better, and you're right, it probably was a six again.
No, that's all. Well, it's.
During
the season. Yeah, I don't know. It's like you said, it's the fluidity of it. When it's through the middle of the season, and it's halfway through the year. Everybody's in their groove. Nobody's missed a whole lot of football. It's just I don't know. It's strange.
I mean, look, New South Wales got onto a great start. Like they were 10-0 up at the first half. I mean the first try with Damien Cook was possibly a little bit easy, you know. Lucky. Sorry, easy as in like it wasn't the greatest of sort of tries that Queensland let in.
It was a little bit lucky as well. Damien Cook was in everything.
Yes, he
in
was.
In this game. Yeah. He didn't want to bar the opening kickoff, and he dropped it. He was running out of dummy half fairly well throughout most of this game, and then he scores the first try.
Let's talk about that kickoff. I've seen this with, for some reason, with when Maroons do that high kickoff and New South Wales leave the ball, 99 times out of 100 will lose the game because of that stupid thing at the start. It's ridiculous. Even if you knock it on, have a go at the ball. I've seen it before.
Nobody wanted it.
I looked at it and went, oh my God, like, you know, that. If that's a preview to what's coming, yeah, and clearly that was the case, like, God help us. It's just, yeah.
And that was the thing, too. Like, obviously, Queensland didn't capitalise on it either. Like, you know, it was just a fairly lacklustre set attacking-wise. And Queensland were, you know, especially in that first half, were fairly poor attacking to start with. Yeah. But inside New South Wales 20, it almost felt like they're just sort of going through the motions and then just try and get a kick on the end of the set and hope for the best. Like it was just, they were pretty below average, attacking wise in that first half, Queensland.
Yeah, they were. I mean, the only reason it was 10 sort of nil. Really, it's not a huge sort of score to be up at half time. You know, yes, it's 10 points, but Cleary didn't have his kicking boots on. Cleary, I don't know if that grand final sort of hit him a bit because he played. He didn't have a great game. Like just as much he didn't have a great game in that grand final either. I don't know. This is Nathan Cleary. I know there's Keary and Cleary. I'll say Cleary.
Yes.
Well, Cleary. Keary didn't have a good game either.
Keary. Well, Keary's paid the price for his kind of poor. Poor performance last Wednesday, but the couple of tries that New South Wales did sort of score, I said that Damien Cook's try was I thought was pretty lucky. It come off the back boot of I think it might have been Christian Welch, and he just sort of just come through. He still had a little bit of work to do, but scored. But they sort of showed their hand early, but they were sort of very adamant on going down Queensland's left-hand defensive edge.
Yeah.
To try and sort of take on Xavier Coates and Philip Sammy on that other side. So it was
Kurt Cable.
I think they were sort of trying to take on a little bit of slowness in the centers there, because on the other side was Coates and Gagai, and they were pretty good.
Gagai is just he's such an Origin player. He didn't have the greatest season this year, but when he wears that jersey, he's completely different. Completely different.
It's unreal. It's unreal what he puts together when he plays Origin. And the people forget as well. Okay, he's had a couple of seasons at South. So, but before he was at South, when he was at Newcastle, and Newcastle were a fairly poor team then. Getting a couple of wins. When he was at Newcastle, he was by far their best player, and he would put on not so much those Origin performances, but they would be Origin like performances by Gagai, and you can't win that way when you're in a poor team with a center playing like that.
I've probably just got lost in the shuffle a little bit with South. He didn't play. He hasn't played terribly at South, but he's just lost in the shuffle with the plethora of centers and wingers and fullbacks that they have at that team.
No, that's it as well. And I really don't think he likes playing on the wing. Well, I think it's pretty clear he doesn't like playing on the wing, and I think he's well within his rights to be like that, because he is a much better center than he is a winger. And people have differing opinions. People say he's a better winger, and I completely disagree. I think he's a much better center than what he is a winger.
I totally agree. I think it's not so much the attack a little bit, but I just think his defense at center is so he knows when to slide. He bounces up where his defense on that center, like when that Latrell Mitchell and him had that sort of New South Wales Maroons go at each other. He's such a good defender. On the center, phenomenal defender. Yeah, he really is. He knows exactly when to get up.
Funnily enough, too.
Yeah.
As New South Wales were sort of, you know, they wanted to go down and attack on New South Wales' right-hand side with Addo Carr down there. The very first time that they went to the left to sort of get Tupou involved and Jack White involved on the other side, they got bundled into touch. Mm-hmm. So they're like, okay, well, that plan clearly didn't work. So they just kept going down the right-hand side to test out, test out Sammy and Capel.
I mean, I'm just bringing up the centers. Someone brought it up to me as well. He's played center before for New South Wales and done okay. Gutherson is not a center. Gutherson didn't have a great game. I know he's got picked for the second one, but I think he cannot defend in the centers. You know, fullbacks can't defend in the centers. They just can't.
He looked a little lost.
He looked lost, and Whiten did as well. I think they were both exposed, to be completely honest. Like Whiten is a decent 5'8". I think that is his position. I mean, you've got two great 5'8s in Walker and Kiri, but I just think he's a better 5'8". I know you love him. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, and that's the thing. Like he's been arguably the form player of the competition. He won a Dally M. Like why would you risk playing him out of position just to put Luke Kiry in there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, going from this side that Fittler's picked, he's gone for, you know, let's just pick the absolute best 17. It doesn't matter if that's their position or not. Let's just pick the best 17 players that are available in the New South Wales squad, and it didn't work out. So,
pick the best 17 and we'll figure it out later.
But on the flip side for you guys, the 17 that you picked, I mean, Capewell was... Oh, who was so phenomenal, by the way. But Capewell, except for Capewell, everybody was in their positions. No one was out of position in that side, which clearly seemed to work. I mean, it sounds dumb, but that's just simple stuff that we don't seem to get over. And
a lot of times, too, you know, especially with representative teams, New South Wales have done it before where they pick Tom Trbojevic and put him on the wing or put him in the centres. And a lot of times it works because it's a representative game and they'll figure it out. But it just, I don't know, just didn't look like they had it quite figured out in this game. And they still had, ten or 11 days to prepare. So that's about as much as you get for an Origin anyway. So it just, I don't know, I guess the experiment didn't really work. And the back line for game two hasn't really changed.
I just think... on the wing, like if you're not a you're not a true winger, like if you're anywhere in the back, you can play on the wing and it's not too much, you won't get too much exposed. I think the centers have to be actual centers. Because if you don't know how to defend in the centers, like Gay Guy, that's why I love Gay Guy. Like when he is the best defender that I've seen in years in the center, because he knows exactly where to put his body every time. No, he doesn't jump in. He jumps. He's just. And Cutherson didn't do it, and White didn't do it, and Capewell did it. Like, Capewell, is he a centre for Gold Coast?
No, Capewell's at the Sharks.
Ah, Sharks. Okay. Is he a centre there?
No, he has played centre, but he's generally second row or off the bench.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, he had the best game ever. He was... I can't believe how good he played. I knew of him.
That chip kick... That chip kick, there was multiple people in this household and multiple people all screamed out, no! Then all of a sudden, my man AJ Brimson comes flying through and scores a try. And we're like, oh, wow, I didn't see him on the inside there.
So I had multiple people at the back here on my new patio. Everyone said the same. I went up and then AJ come through and then my head went straight down. Along with a drink poured over me, but that's a whole different story. It looked like the most innocuous, like such a forward. I don't even know if he's a forward, but it was the worst kick I've ever seen, and it just bounced perfectly. Oh, that's
exactly, and that's why a lot of us screamed out, "No!"
So going into the half, what did you think of, I mean, Bennett must have had the speech of all time. I don't know. Like, they went in that half 10-0 down, and then they come in and just chipped away. And then, from that try on, they were just the better side.
Well, apparently Bennett just said stop trying to go around them and try and go through them.
Okay. Okay. Well, they're
so that's fair. I've read that in a couple of articles. And mm-hmm. and the funny thing is about it too is just during that second half, guys like Payne Huss and Daniel Saifidi and Junior Paulo, they were obsolete.
Yeah.
Like they hardly got used through the middle at all. That's what New South Wales started to do. They tried to attack Queensland's edges, and Queensland just had basically a bend but don't break defensive line. Like New South Wales were making easy meters most of this game, but Queensland just wouldn't let them. They'd be able to poke their head through the line, but they couldn't get a clean break. And I think that was telling in the end.
They just sort of stuck to what they know. Because Saifidi had a great first half, and like you just said, he sort of went. He had a great game. I guess he was one of our better ones, but he sort of went missing in that second half because they went away exactly from what you said up the middle. Maroons went
great.
To the middle.
It was
middle
crazy. And, it just didn't make any sense what they were trying to achieve. In the second half, they should have been trying to do the same thing as what Queensland were, try and go up the middle. Like, that's normally where State of Origins are won and lost, is up the middle, like not out on the edges. Like, you get out on the edges through good hard work through the middle. You don't get out on the edges second, third tackle and expect to break the line every single time.
The second try for Maroons was to Xavier Coates. I think that was just off a break, if I believe, but I think Gay Guy.
The lead up to that, Ben Hunt with a bit of footwork out of dummy half, mm-hmm. and drew in a couple of New South Wales defenders, gets it out to Gay Guy, and Gay Guy just scorched Whiten up the sideline. It's just like, oh, and it looked like they'd almost bombed it.
Yeah,
and he sort of threw a dummy on the inside, dummy on the outside, got Tedesco to bite. And then once he come up, he put Xavier Coates on the outside and scored in the corner. That was a 1-2 punch and got Queensland right back in the game.
Who's the only Brisbane player in that side too? He's 19 years old, Xavier Coates. He's not, he's a big guy. I mean, that helps at the start, but
he's a big unit.
He's not too bad. Like, it was one of those picks that went, okay, like, you know, okay, they picked a winger who is a winger. And you know, that's right. It's something I keep saying it, but it sounds dumb. But you know, that clearly is the way to do it. You pick them in position. As dumb as that sounds, like, you know, Bennett just went to the old formula of just straight up the middle, pick the players where they can play, and that's what exactly, you know, Jake Friend, right. Like, you know, they were saying, you know, Ben Hunt's a great utility and he was used, but Jake Friend is a number nine and he's a great number nine.
That's right.
So, and he's used him well.
It was pretty funny to sort of see he'd basically said he'd given up on Origin. You know, he played 260 odd first grade games, 12 seasons, and it's just like, well, you know, I've come along when, you know, one of the best dummy halves that's played the game, and Cameron Smith is basically, you know, there and the incumbent. So I guess he was sort of not so much lucky, but you know, he stuck with it. He was still in good form. To be picked for Queensland.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's 30 now, so I suppose that's fair. Yeah, unfortunately.
And I guess you know, I'd sort of called for it when we picked our Origin sides a couple of weeks ago. You know, I hadn't really thought about, you know, you're putting if this was going to be a lost series, so to speak. You know, that this was just going to be a foregone conclusion that New South Wales were going to romp it in all three games, then you may as well come out and blood guys like Reed Marnie and Harry Grant. But, what? You know, they obviously think, you know, and now Queensland's in with a great chance in the series.
Huge chance.
Barring injury, your two guys that are going to be playing that utility and dummy half are going to be these two. It's going to be Ben Hunt and Jake Friend starting at number nine.
And I was saying to a couple of guys here that, you know, said, oh, Harry Grant should pay. I get it. Don't get me wrong. I do get it. But I just think, you know, Jake Friend, you know, he has that sort of game experience, and Ben Hunt's been in the Maroons. I just think Harry Grant still,
no, that's right.
He hasn't even played a full season. really. No. Reed
but Jake, for Jake Friend, Jake Friend has played how many big games? Played in grand finals. He's played he's got big game experience.
That's right, and that's what I said to him, and clearly, you know, yeah. So he'll be there in the second game. Unfortunately, your boy AJ Brimson succumbs to injury, so your Cowboys boy, so to speak, Valentine Holmes will be the fullback. What do you think of that one?
Right, the former New York Jets coming in. So, not so much a like for like, but I guess they were pretty lucky that Val, you know, obviously was suspended for the first one. But yeah, I guess he's the logical choice to go back there and play at fullback. So, AJ's got a thing called a Lisfranc ligament damage. So I think we talked about it before. Yeah. It was somebody in the NFL who got grounded by that was Cam Newton.
Cam Newton.
The Carolina Panthers quarterback and now playing for the New England Patriots. But he got grounded by that last year. And it's a real, real nasty injury. Because that ligament is right in between all the bones of your feet.
Yeah,
and it is. Apparently, it is a real nasty injury to try and come back from.
I was saying to the guys here, like, Gold Coast, to me, a dead set top eight next year. They just have to be. I mean, not that I have to be. That's probably not the expectation, but I think they will be top eight next year.
I think that will be the expectation.
Probably will be the expectation, but you need someone like him there, but he's
absolutely. Yes. I mean, if you're the Gold Coast, you go and wrap him in cotton wool now. You know, you do absolutely everything you can for him to get back and healthy. And I hope that because the expectation is probably a little bit higher than usual on the Gold Coast, that they don't try and push him back from this injury early.
On the other side, finally, he's sort of had some sense, but Boyd Corner, look, he loves the game, all good, everything like that, and he puts his heart in the game. He's copped a head knock again. He's had that same look he's had, you know, when he's had that head knock.
Disneyland.
He's out for the series. He's sort of said, you know, basically come out and said he's ruled himself out for the series, which is good because he needs to. I can't remember what player it was. I read an article, but a former player said basically.
Liam
Fulton said he had to retire, and he said, unfortunately, Boyd Corner probably needs to do the same because you keep having these head knocks, it's going to get worse.
Well, he's had how many in the last 2 years? Like, as in this year, he missed how many games? Six, seven weeks.
He's had those head knocks. I'm going to put it because it's just that day. But he's had three this year, which, you know, one's just enough. I love the guy. And he's a very good ambassador. He's not someone that. You know, I know what people love saying about New South Wales, and it's all good. It happens, but he's the kind of guy that you can respect at least in New South Wales.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you keep getting these head knocks, you know, there's a lot of evidence out there. It's not good for you.
In such a short period of time as well, like, and especially this year, he's been sidelined a couple of times already this year with them. So it's absolutely the right decision for him. Yeah. I guess he's going to have to go see, I don't know, when they go see a neurologist. I think this could be, unfortunately, the unceremonious last game of Boyd Corner. Like, I don't see a doctor, you know, a doctor being a comeback to say, yes, you can come back and play.
It's not even that. I'm just looking up now, but, like, you know, you would think doctors and Roosters have a, what's the word? They have a,
well, they'd have a duty of care.
They'd have to have a duty of care to
absolutely
surely to say, you know, we love you, like, you know, you've done so much for the side, but you can't keep getting knocked in the head. Right. It's not good for you. I'm just looking
even up. I was talking to some guys at work, like, even if he comes back, starts wearing headgear, it's It's almost too late.
I'm looking at his I just wanted to see if he had a wife, and my God, yeah, he has a wife. Jesus Christ. She's a morning show, TV morning show producer, and okay, yeah, she's phenomenal. But besides all that, just Google her later. Besides all that, she, you know, again, he's got a family. I know he loves the game, and you know, I mean, not trying to get dark about it. Didn't he have a relative that passed away during the year? Not for this kind of stuff, but
correct. Yeah, I think it was a nephew. I think
from a leg injury, I believe. I thought it was a leg injury.
Yeah, I think it was too.
But you know, like, all I'm saying is, You've done enough for Australia, for New South Wales, and for Roosters. You know, you don't have to prove anything more, is really what I'm getting at. But on, I guess before we move on, I'm just looking at sort of both the sides. I mean, we had to make changes, and they put Cody Walker. They've completely dropped Luke Keary, my God, and put Cody Walker in there. They've dropped Paulo to the bench and put in Payne Haas. Boyd Corner's out, so they've put in Angus Crichton. And finally, I don't know why they didn't put this guy in the first place, but Dale Finucane's on the bench with Nathan Brown and Isaiah Yeo.
Isaiah Yeo getting a shot as well, I honestly think you have to find a spot on the bench for Ryan Papenhuyzen. You just have to.
Well, they're all forwards. They're all forwards on the bench. So I just think
you have to. Like I
think Finucane's great.
I don't know. I just find that a little questionable.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Finucane to me is not so much a utility, but he's great off the bench. He can easily inject that side.
Finucane won't let you down at all. But it's just.
I agree.
You have to find a spot for Papenhuyzen. You just have to. They want a little bit of. You know, X factor and a little bit of unpredictability. There it is, right there.
That's exactly right. This would be perfect for him. You know, he doesn't have to play the full game, or he could probably play 20 minutes. But just him coming on, he has that form coming into this as well from that grand final. On your side, it's pretty much 1-17. They had to replace Christian Welsh with Luai, Dinamis Luai, which.
Yeah, Dinamis Luai. Yeah, Dinamis
Luai. Do they just not have a choice there? Do they not have a choice or something?
No, they don't.
As in, they couldn't find anybody else. I thought even like Jai Arrow could move on to sort of the starting side, but he's still on the bench, and Jaden Sewers moved into the starting 13.
Yeah, well, that's right. They dropped Cohen Hess altogether. Jaden Sewers come in off the bench. Yeah, exactly. I shook my head. Shouldn't have even been picked
in the first place. No, and I'm not saying he's a terrible player. But he didn't do enough this year to deserve to be a run-on spot.
Yeah, no, I'll say it. He's a terrible player. He's still cashing in on that very first season that he played in 2017, where Greeny used him off the bench, and he was such a damaging runner. And then all of a sudden, everybody thinks, oh yeah, he's good off the bench. We can start him. And since he's been a starting second rower, he's been poor, and he's been very poor.
You're gonna be a starting, you know, in an NRL side. You're gonna be starting, but he would have been perfect. I would have moved Jai Arrow up to the side and put him on the bench.
That's what I mean. I think Tino should have been better off the bench. Jai Arrow would have been better at lock.
Yeah.
And have Tino off the bench, but you know they've got, that's what I mean, a big Mo Fotowaker's come into the side as well. So, that's fantastic. I had him, you know, in my initial squad.
Yeah.
Starting, you know, I'd like to see him get amongst it right from the get go. But he's getting his shot now, which is good for him. So, you know, I think a pretty solid bench for Queensland as well. Val Holmes comes in at fullback. Looks like Kurt Capel is battling a groin injury, but is for all intensive purposes as of now. Looks like he'll play. So whether that will come back to bite him in the ass come Wednesday that, you know, he might only make it through half an hour, and then it's essentially a wasted interchange. So I guess you could move Jaden Sewer into the centers, or you'd have to do a little bit of a reshuffle, but that could, that could sort of hurt him a little bit, you know, throughout the next game. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I don't mind Nathan Brown. He's not a terrible player, but him and Finucane are pretty much the same player. I would have probably easily dropped Nathan Brown to put Pappenhausen in there just for that X factor alone, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nathan Brown and Finucane are literally the same player. They're both locks. They both defend like hell. It's a bit perplexing. Little bit perplexing.
Yeah, it's, like you said, yeah, they're essentially the same. It's essentially the same type of player. So,
correct.
You know, and you got your big bopper in Junior Paulo on the bench. So, and you know, yeah, I was.
In saying that, but Payne Haas, I think he can do a solid 20 minutes at the start and sort of produce something.
Saifidi played like nearly the first 35 minutes of that game.
Saifidi was our best player.
To have those two, you know, they're Iron Man props.
Yeah.
They mightn't have to make a prop substitution until very late in the first half.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. You're right. Payne Haas is an 80-minute guy too, isn't he? So, yeah, interesting.
He has to be a Brisbane. Just because he can play 80 minutes doesn't mean he should.
He should play. That's right. I think we covered all the origin. I mean, the game two will be in Sydney. In case everybody doesn't realise, they're week by week. There's not a break in between. So this next game will be this coming Wednesday, and then the following Wednesday will be game three. So,
Before we move on, what did you think of the supposed controversy at full time? Early whistle or not early whistle?
Early whistle. I'm not saying we would have scored, and going off the game, I don't think we would have scored. But there's clear. I've stopped it. I taped it, so to speak, or recorded.
There's 2 seconds left on the clock on the TV.
The ball's been released from his hand through the foot, just like a normal play of the ball. There's still 2 seconds left.
Does the siren go off?
I don't remember the siren.
If the siren goes off, then the referee has to blow full time.
That's a good point.
Have you never seen? How many times have we seen the clock on the TV, whether it's on Fox Sports or whether it's on Channel 9, not meet up with the official clock that's at the ground?
Well, I'd have to go back and look, but I don't remember hearing. I just remember the ball being cleared enough before hearing any noise or looking at the time.
I'm 99% sure that the siren went, and that's why the referee's not blowing full time without the siren going off.
No, I understand that. I mean it's all hearsay. I don't think. I it wouldn't have been great if we scored. That would have just been a blow up of massive proportions. But
that's right. And they've shown.
The spread
ball move out to the right hand side was going to be like a 4-on-1.
But there was four players on him that didn't get up in time as well. So he could have blown a penalty if you really wanted to look at that.
Exactly, and that's exactly what Queensland are trying to do. They were trying to give away the penalty. Who cares if somebody gets sent to the bin? You're essentially shutting that play down, and then you've only got to defend one play from a set standstill.
I think going off his grand final terrible performance, Jared Sutton didn't do too bad in that game. I think he was fine. Either way, it seemed like the ball was away, but we honestly didn't play well enough to warrant the score. And if we scored, it would have just been like anything at the last sort of 5 seconds. We just would have been completely lucky. But
yeah, well, that's awesome. What I mean. I guess it wasn't a high penalty sort of game either. I think there was a period there in the first 25 minutes of the second half where there was no penalty. So.
Which is great. That's Origin.
It's the same BS every year when they, with Origin, we don't want to see the referee get involved and we don't want a penalty-a-thon and blah, blah, blah. But, let them play out. But, there was a penalty count was like 3-2 to Queensland, and then there was a couple of ruck infringements thrown in just for good measure. So, not essentially a super stop start game, which I guess, that's what they want. They want that nice fluid game happening, especially with the 6-again rule.
I guess we've sort of covered all the origin. We'll move on to the last four sides. Sorry. We've still got to review 8 more sides from the NRL. I don't even know why I'm babbling about it. I've already said it at the start. So we've got teams 5 to 8 to talk about. Just a season in review, starting with the Cronulla Sharks, who finished 8th. And I think was week 1, they exited straight away, didn't they?
Yeah.
What do you want to say about? I don't know. What do you want to say about their?
Look, I guess, their form line rang true when they come into the semis. They hadn't been a top 8 side all year. Mm-hmm. So, what made them think that they could have sprung an upset on Canberra to win, but it just. They limped into the finals. They lost 4 of their last 6 games coming into the finals, so they weren't in terrific form. They lost Sean Johnson a few weeks out from the finals, so that essentially, shot. Who was great? He was playing really well.
Their best player the whole season. Yeah. He was coming into some great form towards the end. Yeah, exactly.
Look, a good couple of young halves there too. In Braden Trindle and Tracy there as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Look, Matt Moylan looks like he's on the out of there as well, so I'm not sure what is going to happen there. Are they going to look to sort of maybe shift him on, or I don't know. Like, he was hurt a lot this year.
I think
he has been the last couple of years. He has been, and it's the same injury. You just can't shake that hamstring.
They went through that entire season without being a top 8 side. So you're right. They were going to do literally nothing in that game to warrant disrupt the sort of final series. They're a side where I don't, and this is all from their, their salary cap issues. I don't know what they can do, but keep the sort of side they got. I don't know. That's the thing. They're a side where you just go like, can they buy anybody? Do they buy anybody, or do they just have to work on who they got? Which is unfortunate.
I don't think they're going to be big movers and shakers in the off season. Like, they've got some good young halves there. Will Kennedy looks like he's sort of sewn up that fullback spot, as going forward. You've got big price guys there like Josh Dugan. Obviously Sean Johnson would be on a decent contract. Matt Moylan's on $800,000 a year.
Wow.
So you've got a lot. Yeah, Fifita would probably. I'm not sure what he'd be on, but he would be on a hefty. Yeah, he would be on a big price ticket.
Dugan would probably be on some money. Josh Dugan.
Yeah, Wade. Guys like Wade Graham. So that they've. I think they've just got to trust in their young talent. Hopefully, Johnson comes back, ready and raring next year.
Oh, wow.
And I think the big pressing thing that they need to do over the off season is sort out what they want to do with Matt Moylan.
That I think with the team he had, I think John Morris did a fantastic season and they're keeping him on as coach. There is whispers, and I just only read this probably 20 minutes ago, that depending on how long it takes Sean Johnson to come back, Benji's actually pulled out of his deal with the Cowboys. So he's looking at his Fox Sports sort of commitments, and it's possible he might play there for a year at the Sharks.
There has been, sort of just to go off topic a little bit, but there has been 2 backflips by North Queensland. One backflip on Jake Clifford. He looks like he was out the door and going to Newcastle.
Yes.
Now they've sort of essentially convinced him to stay. And they've also backflipped on Ihsahn Masters.
Yeah, they backflipped the Clifford one. They backflipped purely on the Benji backflip because he's backflipped on that and said he wants to stay in Sydney. So the Clifford one makes sense. The Ihsahn Masters, interesting. That's very interesting.
They've totally done a 180 on him and said, we want to stick it out. So I guess with different the different coaching coaching team, you know, get the guys there, different philosophy. He might thrive. Like I just I liked the move at the start of the year. I didn't like the way he played this year. I thought he tried to do too much and tried too hard. So hopefully Todd Payton and co can sort of get the best out of him and hopefully he wants to stay there.
We'll move on to the 17, which I guess your sentimental team and mine. I mean, I lived there so long enough. Newcastle Knights, they finished 7th and again exited in that week one of the finals. I mean, started with a year or so. I mean, they have the size. Started you with a year with so much promise.
Oh my God, they were smoking hot at the start of the year.
They were. It's just they were just too inconsistent. I mean, you've said this at pretty much every round that we've done on the NRL that they can when they're brilliant, they're absolutely brilliant. But when they're terrible, you know.
The gap between them being good and them being bad was just what was way too big.
So what? Because you look at their side and it's not like they've got a terrible side at all. They have a very very good side, you know. They had, like, I think he had one of his best seasons, and I'm still surprised he wasn't picked in the New South Wales squad. But David Clemmer had one of his.
Oh, that is.
I think it was the best prop of the season. That's probably partly in there as well. But
for him to not even be in there, do you know what I mean? Like, he's not even in the squad, even in the 27 man squad, right? That's lunacy. That's lunacy.
Yeah, he is not even in that squad at all. He was not named one, so he's not in that bubble, which he probably loves, but. It's absolutely ridiculous. He had one of his best seasons.
He led the league in one of the in one of the statistics that the NRL has flogged from the NFL. He led the league in post contact meters this year.
Oh, you love those post contact meters. Oh, yeah, I love he did. It. But he played all their 21 games at average 163 meters every single week. It boggles that he was your star player, so the Newcastle Knights star player.
No, absolutely.
Honestly, they were pretty injury riddled during the year, but like
they were down to their fourth string dummy half.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they got Andrew McCullough. Like that looked like a stroke of genius. That was going so well.
I know
Jaden Brayley is probably going to be their future sort of dummy half, but McCullough was going so well, and then he's gone down. And so did Blake Green. It just sort of kept going and going. So
Connor Watson as well. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's where do they, you know, where do they find the right position for him in the team? Because he's bounced around. You know, he's played fullback. He's played 5'8". He's played dummy half. He's come off the bench. Like they just can't find the right spot for him. I think they need to pair him with Pierce in the halves.
I think they're going to have to. Like, I'm hearing things about Blake Green possibly staying there, even though he's injured, but they're going to have to. They're going to have no choice. I'm not the biggest fan of that. I think, is it Mason Leno?
No, sorry. Don't rate Mason Leno at all.
No, and, you know, they still have young guys coming through, like this Phoenix Crossland and your boy Tex Hoy.
Everybody's favorite Tex Hoy.
Everybody loves Tex Hoy. We love Tex Hoy. We love Tex Hoy. We want to make a sauce Tex Hoy. it doesn't that just sound when you say Tex Hoy? Doesn't that just sound like a hog's breast sauce straight away?
It's something that you put on your steak.
Porterhouse. You order a porterhouse with Tex Hoy
with a side of Tex Hoy.
Oh, I love it. Kurt Mann, he did a pretty good season too, didn't he?
He was. It's, I mean, if Clemmer wasn't their best this year, it was Kurt Mann. Mann was Mr. Fix It for everything.
I think. I mean, the way I don't think they got much money to throw around. I'm not sort of hearing anything with Newcastle except for that Jake Clifford. But it's the person that needs to live for me is Mitchell Pearce. You know, he's their highest paid player. He is their captain. He is their halfback. So up until, you know, Ponga's contract sort of kicks in, he needs to lift. He's in New South Wales and Australian halfback. He's played that before. So
look, you know, Ponga didn't have the most flattering season this year either. You know, by his lofty standards, you know, he set the bar pretty high for himself, And I think he underachieved a bit this year. Like he had some dynamic games, and it was, well, you know, that situation where, you know, when Newcastle are great, they're great. And a lot of that is to do with Kalyn Ponga. But, you know, when he drifts in and out of games and he has a poor game, it seems like it drags the whole team down.
I mean, they should still make the 8 next year. I did forget they've, you know, on the back of the Saifidi brothers and Clement, they picked up Tyson Frizzell for next year. So that's right. They still
got a really good forward pack.
Yeah.
You know, Jaden Brayley will come back at dummy half. You know, what happens with Kurt Mann? Do they put him back at 5'8"? As well as he played this year, I'd like to see them go back to Connor Watson at 5'8" and Mitchell Pearson halfback. And then where does that leave Kurt Mann? Which
I'll put him
sucks.
In the centres. The centres of Newcastle very lacking.
Like, you just have to. So
they're very, very lacking.
You get to me. He's missed a fix it.
The sixth place team that finished sixth, was the South Sydney Rabbitohs. They made it all the way to preliminary finals and exited from that. I think it was against the Melbourne Storm, which is fine by me. They were one of those sides that, I mean, it's probably everybody, but we didn't know what they were going to do after Littrell Mitchell sort of went down for the year.
No, that's right. And they come into the finals, I guess, as one of the form teams as well.
Oh, big time. I mean, they had that huge win against Roosters. Yeah,
that's right. But that's what I mean. I still just think that was one of those anomaly games.
Yeah.
They come in, but that's what I mean. They put, what are they, was it 42-24 against Newcastle in the, you know, in the first week of the finals, where it was just an absolute points fest. But, you know, in with the injuries that happened to Latrell Mitchell and James Roberts and guys like that, look, they unearthed some really good talent that they've got in the back line. You know, young Corey Allen is in the Queensland squad at the moment.
And
they've got Braden Burns there.
Yeah.
You know, Jackson Paulo. They've got some good young players in the back line.
And you know, up until he got
Campbell
injured.
Graham.
Latrell Mitchell had a very very good season up until he got injured. He most likely would have been in that New South Wales squad. That's how good he was playing.
He could have been playing centre.
And also Alex Johnson, you know, he was NRL top try scorer. So it's not like they don't
stolen top try scorer, mind you.
He's still got five. It doesn't make a difference. He got five in the last one. Now, that's pretty rare. Against the Roosters of all teams.
He was gifted two of them.
Oh, I don't think he was gifted two. That's
he
a
was
bit of
gift,
a...
He was gifted. He was gifted one by Corey Allen. Corey Allen threw it back to him.
They'll pick up Jai Arrow for next year. So, I mean, that should be good. I still think they need that bit of stink up the middle. I think their backs are pretty sort of set, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. They have let go of James Roberts, which you've mentioned before, but I don't think that's going to be it's not going to be a big loss, kind of considering how good their back line is.
No, I don't think it's super detrimental to what they're doing at the moment. Like, you know, and they've signed guys like Jacob Host and Tane Milne as well, so they've got a wealth of young talent in that back line. So, and not to say that they won't miss somebody like James Roberts, who's a former State of Origin player, but that's 550 grand that they're pretty much going to free up. So it'll be very interesting to see where he ends up, because right now you can start doing deals for the upcoming season. So I would sincerely hope that he gets picked up shortly. Where does he go? Like
Melbourne.
Come
to Melbourne. I don't know what kind of money he's going to get anyway, but if anyone's going to turn him around, it'd be Bellamy. If anybody turn him around and get away from, like, apparently he's got sort of some, some mental issues. Like, he's checked himself in before. Go to Melbourne, get away from all that noise. We're most likely going to lose Adokar and Vunivalu, most likely. I know they're talking umming and ahhing, but... You know, Branko
Lee. Both of them looks like they're going to backflip.
Possibly, but they did sign. They signed George Jennings, so surely they know something. I just noticed that the other day. George Jennings on Para, they just signed Melbourne, so he'll probably be another one that they'll just turn around, which is very interesting. But
no, well, that's it.
I think for South, I think their time, like their windows now, you know, they've got Damien Cook, they've got Reynolds, they've got Cody Walker. They're not getting any younger. Their premiership windows, to me, just now. They have to.
I think they might need to get, I think they're to get a little bit younger up front, I think. Mm. Yeah, but Burgess isn't getting any younger.
How's Jai Arrow?
Jai Arrow is a top pickup, but I think they need to sort of, you know, maybe bolster, get a good young prop up there to sort of, you know, to take the reins off somebody like I think Tom, is it Tom there or George? One of them. I think it's Tom's Burgess.
I think it's Tom. Yeah.
I think George went back to pretty sure George went back to Wigan.
Yeah, yeah. But they should still, to me, clearly finish in the top eight, even probably push for that sort of top four again, I think. I think they should.
If they did have such an indifferent start to the season where they was, you know, not so much looking great, but they were sort of a little inconsistent to start the year and finished the season red hot, they could have been in the mix for a top four finish.
And the last side we'll talk about is the fifth place Canberra Raiders, who, for all accounts, looked like they were going to actually make the grand final until they come up against the red hot Melbourne Storm outfit. But what do you say about their review? We both thought it was, I guess, pretty much going to be all over after Josh Hodgson went down.
No, that's right. And round nine versus Melbourne. Hodgson goes down, and essentially, I think both of us thought that was their season down the toilet. So, you know, for them to be for and against away, they finished on 14 wins, the same as what the Roosters did, but you know, only four and against to push them out of the top four. For them to be finishing that close, Havili filled in nicely. You know, straight away after Hodgson went down, and then they unearthed Tom Starling, and he was great for them throughout the rest of the season. Bateman was good, but now he's leaving. Charles Nicol-Klokstad was he a top five fullback in the league? Top five, top six fullback in the league. I think he was terrific. Obviously, Jack Whiten was a gigantic part.
Oh, big time.
Of them getting as far as they did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, they are losing a couple of key players. They'll lose Aiden Caesar plus... not Aiden Caesar. He's already gone. Sorry. Is all they're going to sort of lose. But Simonson, what's his name?
Bailey Simonson
is coming back in. So...
And Luke Bateman leaving as well, like that's big. But you know, I'm sure that they've got a bit of a pipeline over to England at the moment, so I'm sure they'll be able to replace him.
I think they did. I didn't have it in front of me, but I think they picked up another. I'm sure they picked up another second rower from over in England. I'm very sure they picked up a second rower from England. I think once Hodgson's back, I can't see him then changing at all. I think they have a brilliant side, like on the back of White, like you said, you know, and Papali, you know, he is the best front rower in the game. I mean, it's pretty evident he is. Like, he does everything up until, including that phenomenal, like,
chase down to Jamal Fogarty.
Oh, my God. I think, they did pick, so they'll pick up. Sorry, my fault. They'll pick up Caleb Aikens from Penrith. They got Ryan James coming from Gold Coast as well.
Ryan James is coming there too, but he's had a pretty rough run with injuries over the last couple of seasons. So you know, you'd hope that he can sort of pick up the pieces there and start to do well.
Harry Rushton.
We'll see.
Harry Rushton, a 19-year-old second row, 6'3", Jesus Christ.
That's the one, Harry Rushton.
From England, 3 years. So, but they've re-signed some key players. So they've got Papali he's re-signed. Saliola's re-signed. Starling and Whiten's definitely re-signed. And Jared Croker, their stalwart captain, who probably will never make a New South Wales side, well, but I think he's very
just
underrated.
Oh, I think we've said it before. If he was a Queenslander, he would have played 12 Origins by now.
He's extremely underrated. He's a phenomenal boot.
He'd be a Grizzly veteran in a Queensland jumper, but it's just unfortunate that he's a New South Welshman. And he's just it sucks that he gets overlooked, but it could be he's not super flashy or anything like that, but he would not look out of place in a Blues jersey.
I guarantee he would have if you had Whiten and him instead of Gutherson in the centres, it would not look out of place at all. He's a good defender.
He
times in when he offends for offense, but god damn, he can. He would have been our over Cleary. He would have been our starting goal kicker. He can kick a ball. He's phenomenal at kicking. So I mean he's probably never going to get a run on, but I think Canberra's fine. I think Ricky's done wonders down there. I know a lot of people
he's got a pipeline to the UK, so yeah, it'll just be how they fit in, and that's another place where you go down there, and okay, they're a one team town, but you get away from everything out there, you know. Maybe James Roberts could go out there and
do you
know what I mean? Like just to be once again out of the spotlight.
That'd be that'd be a phenomenal pickup. Wow. There'd be a lot of places.
Queensland, we could use another strike center up here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, could you use him up there as well? Yeah, wow.
Absolutely, we could. Bye bye, Justin O'Neill. Thank you very much. And look, it's just no disrespect to Justin O'Neill. He was phenomenal, you know, in the couple of grand final runs that we made a few years ago. But he's just that little bit step slower, and he got greatly exposed on many occasions this year defensively. If they've got the means to get him, I think North Queensland should absolutely make a push for him.
I think by the looks of everything I've read, I think he needs to get his head right first. Yeah, he's just, you know, he didn't have the greatest recovery from that pec injury of what I'm reading. So if he can get his head right, I used to love seeing him and Latrell go at it. Not so much like just great center pairing, not like go at it like fire. Just like they were just great against each other. So not center pairing, sorry.
No, well that's it. And he's sort of a bit of a, you know, I guess a little bit of a flibbity gibbet too. I guess, you know, he was on the Gold Coast. He agreed to them in principle, and then something went sour, and then he's just like, that's it, I want out of here. And then he goes to the Broncos. You know, he sort of plays pretty well there. You know, he gets his first New South Wales Origin jersey playing there. You know, Wayne Bennett leaves. I guess he wanted to continue to be coached by Wayne Bennett, so he went, all right, I want out of here. I want to go to Souths. You know, I want to follow Wayne Bennett a la Darius Boyd. So he followed Wayne Bennett down to Souths, and so, I mean, it's okay. Sydney's it's the biggest city in this country, but it's a rugby league city, and you're always going to be in the spotlight.
It's funny, like, we're going to finish up, but it's funny that there's a lot of money that Brisbane's going to have too. Like, I know they got rid of Jack Bird, well, let's just say half. Let's just say half for argument's sake.
I think that's a lot. I don't think it'll be that much. I reckon it'll be around about the $300,000.
Okay, so let's say Darius Boyd was that's about $800,000 contract that they freed up.
They've got a huge, huge chunk of change.
To see what they do. I don't know who's available. I mean, that's another. Could James Roberts go there?
Could he go back to Brisbane?
Put Katoni Staggs in the 5-8, which he looked up until that injury, he looked very comfortable in the 5-8. You know, and put Milford at the back.
Yes, and that's the thing. You know,
I forgot, Darius Boyd retired, but I forgot the amount of money he'll actually free up there. That'll be very interesting to see what the Broncos do. I'm not nowhere near their biggest fan, but they're just always an interesting team to follow because obviously the media exposure they get.
Well, it's another thing, you know, another one team town, but it's a very large town, you know. Brisbane's kind of big, and yeah, that might not be the best place for him, because you'd think the spotlight would be even more on him in Brisbane. So yeah, I think he needs to go, like you said, a place like Melbourne.
Or I think
Canberra could be good for him. Maybe not so much up here, but you know, this place is only a small town compared to Sydney and Melbourne and even Canberra. So you know, you can tuck yourself away in a place like this and not get bothered too much.
I think Melbourne would just be ideal. He gets away, we need a centre. I don't know if they're going to be able to pick him up on the cheap, but if they do, who knows? I don't know. He'll go somewhere. I think he's too talented somewhere.
Melbourne's also got the knack of telling people at a discounted rate, but guess what? You're gonna fit right in here, and you're gonna get plenty of wins, and you're gonna have a chance at a grand final.
And then go away and get a bigger contract, because that's half of the players are done. So yeah, that's true. Well, we've sort of covered the State of Origin second, and then the teams 5 to 8. We've got 4 more teams to cover, and there's obviously 2 more State of Origin games coming up. Hopefully. Well, we'll still talk about game three, but hopefully there'll be something nice to talk about in game three, at least a competitive edge. Not that what I'm basically getting out, I don't want Queensland to win at all.
Well, it's perfectly poised though at the moment, isn't it? It's, you know, it's Queensland gets this game, you know, massive underdogs at $3.60. I don't know too many people that actually got on that action, but $3.60 would be pretty happy, but you know, they put the betting odds straight out, you know, within about half an hour after game one, and Queensland had only come into like $3.25. So I don't think they've got even less of a chance to win in Sydney than what they did in Adelaide. Like, that's, you think it's going to be a bit of a I thought it was a bit of a pro Queensland crowd there in Adelaide.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I think it might have been half and half, but I think there was a lot more cheers for Queensland. But you know, I think Queensland have got less of a chance to win in Sydney on Wednesday. So you know, it's perfectly poised for a decider and a comeback home to Suncorp.
Well, they pushed out to $3.40 at the moment, and we've tightened to $1.32. So
the people, right? So people jumped on New South Wales at like $1.45 or what are they started on?
$1.45 or something, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, Valentine's.
I actually thought it might have been the other way around. I would have thought people were going to jump on Queensland at $3.25 and actually bring the odds in.
Tidbit, if anyone bets, just looking at some match insights. First try scorer for Valentine Holmes has been the first try scorer in 4 of his 5 previous Origin appearances. Yeah. And he's paying a cool $18 as a first try scorer.
Oh, I am in.
I thought you liked that one when it's 18. He's paying 18 and he scored 4 of the last 5, so $18.
I'm in. I've done my NFL multi for the week. Now I'm getting back on Neds and I'm in on that.
I think I want to get on that, like, just to read that. Oh, my God. First try scorer, $18. My God.
18 smackers. Thanks for coming.
See, we need I know all you betting companies support everything, so I'm sure you can support us. We need one of you, and we'll just talk about bets all the time. Trust me. I know this is completely off topic, but I listen to a podcast that I talk about the NFL lines, and they literally talk about the NFL lines.
Not the Daily Wager.
No, it's a Bill Simmons, Bill Simmons podcast. So they talk about NFL, and then they guess what the line's going to be just to see who's going to win on what the line's going to be, because they love it. So it's, oh, my God. I'll talk about that for 20 minutes.
Some of them today. You see the line on Pittsburgh and Dallas this week. Oof.
I'll talk about that for 20 minutes if they want to sponsor us. I could care less. I'd love to. Yeah, I don't want to look at that line. That's a we'll talk about that off.
14.5.
We'll, oh my God.
Touchdowns. And I don't even think that's enough.
Well, that'll do it for this NRL podcast.
That the Dallas Cowboys could start Cooper Rush.
We have to. I think that's the smartest idea before Ben DiNucci, but the.
Gilbert Arenas, like it doesn't matter.
Gilbert
who it is.
Grape. What's eating Gilbert Grape? I don't know. Where it's him,
Gilbert Arenas, whatever.
Oh my God, I haven't heard that name for ages either.
They probably better start Gilbert Arenas.
We'll talk about that in the next podcast because, oh my God, that's going to be a dire affair. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Final Play Pod, and obviously Facebook's pretty easy to find, Final Play Podcast, where you'll see in the link from this podcast, you'll see the link for Spotify. So give us a like and share on that. And I think Podbean and SoundCloud's on there as well. But give us a like on Facebook. Yeah. Give us a like on Spotify. And also, if you're into trading cards, like my counterparts, don't forget that all our podcasts are on gimco.com.au. It's a cult. Trust me.
Got a little NBA Friday action last night. But, yeah, didn't do so well.
Who'd you have?
Oh, Cleveland. Brutal.
It depends what kind of Cleveland it is first. Like current Cleveland. Well,
there was a couple of products from this year, so you know, I got a couple of what's the kid's name? Porter, Kevin Porter Jr. So I don't think he's gonna amount to for too much. But you get a couple of rookies there, but
Just imagine if you had old school LeBron ones there. Ooh.
Sometimes, but they're not. Everything now is LeBron in a Lakers uniform, so they're the ones that are skyrocketing at the moment. So everybody's forgotten about Cleveland.
Well, that's true. Okay, well, have a good week, everyone. they have forgotten about Cleveland. You're exactly right. That's how I was going to finish.
They've been miserable the last couple of years.
Oh, I'd love to talk about Cleveland for 20 minutes, but my name's Jason. The Cavs. Or Cleveland in general. I don't know how anybody can support Cleveland. Any team in Cleveland.
The Browns look like they might surprise a few people, but I guess the Browns just doing Browns things, I guess. But they're in a tough division, so that hurts them. It's that was a good little pick. I got a good couple of cards out of it last night, but hadn't been in an NBA Friday for a while, so it was good to get a little bit of NBA action on the cards instead of the NFL. So that was good.
Well, have a good week, everyone.
See ya.